The Game Creator, a history of STOS on the Atari ST. If you were a teen, preteen, or even a curious adult with an 8-bit computer in the 80s, you most likely started your journey as a computer enthusiast by playing with the basic language included with your computer. Some people typed in a few programs and then moved on to games and never looked back, while many of us were so engrossed in the power to control the computer and especially create our own small games that it became an obsession that we still feed off today. Eventually, many of us sold or traded up to a 16-bit computer, maybe an Amiga or an Atari ST, and we found that basic languages bundled with those machines before the advent of Super and Power Pack bundles, for the ST at least, was lacking in any game-making ability. In fact, some of the basics were so poor that many of us were put off trying to program on these newer, faster machines at all. Enter the game creation basics. If you were an ST owner in 1989 or an Amiga owner just a few months later, your prayers were answered by a fantastic set of tools by a tiny French development team of two genius developers. Let's dive into that story coming up next. Introduction, the Atari ST and the rise of STOS. The mid-1980s heralded a new era in personal computing, marked by the emergence of 16-bit machines. Among these, the Atari ST quickly carved out a significant niche, often referred to as the Jackintosh due to its gem-based graphical user interface. The Atari ST presented a compelling alternative to its contemporaries, offering powerful capabilities at a competitive price point. Its initial market reception was robust, with over 50,000 units sold within the first 6 months across both sides of the Atlantic, a success that played a crucial role in revitalizing Atari's fortunes. The machine's inherent versatility, stemming from its high-performance specifications, allowed it to thrive in diverse applications, from professional music production, leveraging its MIDI capabilities, to desktop publishing. Within this fertile computing landscape, STOS, the game creator, emerged as a pivotal programming language specifically tailored for the Atari ST. It was a dialect of the widely recognized BASIC, beginner's all-purpose symbolic instruction code, but with a distinct focus, empowering users to develop games and multimedia applications. Truly, what set STOS apart and contributed to its widespread adoption is its unique appeal to amateur and aspiring developers. The language provided a powerful set of high-level commands for graphics and sound, allowing creators to craft sophisticated applications with minimal or no prerequisite knowledge of the ST's intricate internal architecture or low-level languages such as assembly. This accessibility meant that even complex interactive experiences could be written in just a few simple lines of code. With dedication and a little extra polish, developers could achieve results approaching near commercial quality releases. This design philosophy effectively lowered the barrier to entry for game creation on the Atari ST, at least for novice and some professional developers. Unlike the steep learning curves associated with assembly language or C, STOS allowed individuals with fundamental programming understanding to quickly translate their creative visions into playable software. This accessibility was instrumental in cultivating a vibrant bedroom coder culture where hobbyists could develop and readily share their creations, thereby democratizing game development and expanding its reach beyond traditional professional studios. Part 2, the genesis and evolution of STOS. STOS BASIC was the brainchild of JOX, a development team composed of François Lyonnais and Constantine Sotiropoulos. The software was initially brought to market by Mandarin Software, a company that later rebranded as Europress. François Lyonnais, in an interview with the Retro Hour podcast, disclosed that the very concept for Stas stemmed from his initial aversion to the ST's GEM operating system, which he found unappealing upon first encounter. This personal dissatisfaction fueled his desire to create more intuitive and accessible tools for game development on the ST platform. The original blueprint for Stas envisioned two core components: a DOS system designed to supersede GEM, a responsibility overseen by Suratopolis, and a basic interpreter, which fell under Lyonnais' purview. Given Francois' singular focus on game creation, the interpreter naturally evolved into a comprehensive game development engine. Its primary objective was to simplify complex programming tasks, enabling aspiring developers to concentrate on game logic and design rather than grappling with low-level system intricacies. Key versions of Stas and features. The journey of Stas began with its initial release in France, followed by the introduction of version 2.3 in the United Kingdom in late 1988. This UK release was a comprehensive package, providing developers with the wealth of tools. It included numerous utilities and accessories specifically designed for editing sprites and music, components vital for game creation. Crucially, version 3.2 also bundled with the complete source code of three full games, Orbit, Zoltaire, and Bullet Train, serving as valuable educational resources for burgeoning programmers. A significant leap in Stas's capabilities came with the release of the Stas compiler, bundled with version 2.4. Initially, Stas functioned as a basic interpreter, executing code line by line. The compiler transformed this, allowing users to convert their Stas programs into incredibly fast machine code. This compilation process dramatically improved the execution speed, offering performance comparable to languages like C and GFA Basic, while retaining the ease of use characteristic with Stas Basic. The compiler was designed for interactive use, enabling direct compilation, execution, and testing of programs within the Stas environment. Furthermore, compilation reduced the final size of program, reducing programs to sometimes 50% of their uncompiled versions. A key advantage for developers was that compilation also served to protect their intellectual property, as the resulting executable code was impossible to translate back to the original Stas Basic source code. This enhancement in speed and protection was a crucial development in elevating Stas from a purely hobbyist interpreter to a tool capable of producing more polished, distributable, and even some commercially viable software. Subsequent updates addressed compatibility with newer Atari ST hardware. Versions 2.5 and 2.6 were released to ensure Stas functioned correctly on STE machines running 1.06 and 1.62 respectively. The final official version, 2.7, was a compiler-only update aimed at resolving issues with the compilation of tracker replay routines. Beyond the official releases, the dedicated Stas community continued to develop and update the language, including a third-party modification known as Stas 2.07, which provided broader Stas compatibility and support for the Atari Falcon. This community effort culminated in version 3.0 in 2014, demonstrating the language's enduring appeal. In a significant move to preserve its legacy and foster continued development, Francois released the source code of Stas Basic around 2001. Extensions expanding Stas's capabilities. A defining characteristic of Stas was its inherent extensibility, allowing programmers to augment its functionality by adding new commands through machine code extensions. This feature proved crucial, leading to the creation of a multitude of extensions that significantly enhanced the language's power and prolonged relevance. These extensions were vital in addressing both the perceived limitations of the core Stas interpreter and the specific hardware quirks of the Atari ST. Notable extensions: Stas Maestro and Maestro Plus. This is among the earliest extensions, introducing the capability to play sampled sounds with Stas games. Stas Maestro Plus further enhanced by bundling the Maestro extension with a hardware cartridge that allowed users to capture their own sounds. Misty and the Missing Link. These extensions were particularly impactful. The Missing Link is often cited as the premier extension, offering a wide variety of new commands and faster, optimized versions of existing ones. It was especially critical for implementing pre-shifted graphics, a clever workaround for the Atari ST's inherent 16-pixel horizontal boundary limitation in graphics copying. This technique enabled smoother, pixel-level scrolling in games, a significant visual improvement. The development of these and other code extensions by the community directly addressed the technical shortcomings of the STOS interpreter and the Atari ST hardware. This collective innovation transformed STOS into a far more powerful and versatile tool than its initial release suggested, providing it with a renewed vitality and ensuring its viability for game development for many years. This dynamic demonstrates how a dedicated user base can drive the evolution and longevity of a platform. A few other notable STOS extensions. STOS 3D offered considerably faster drawing of 3D objects. The Blitter extension utilized the STE's Blitter chip for ultra-fast screen copying and clearing operations. The STE extension utilized the STE's scrolling, with a bug unfortunately, Jaguar gamepads, DMA sound, and more. Les Greenlaw's Control extension added 55 new commands, including a replacement sprite engine optimized for the STE's larger hardware scrollable screens. It added support for four-player games, Jaguar joypad capability, Blitter support, and more. The Cyber extension, allowing the replay of Cyber Paint animations. The Eagle extension enabled functions like screen phase and other effects to run concurrently with the main program code, bypassing the blocking nature of STOS's native fade instruction. The Fast instruction, a general optimization extension that sped up various aspects of the language, including screen clearing, mathematical calculations, and screen plotting. The GBP extension introduced numerous commands, such as controlling disk drive lights, checking printer connectivity, setting printer configurations, and unpacking common packed file types. The Gemma extension allowed developers to leverage gem manager calls within STOS, allowing the creation of window-based application, multitasking, and even the 256-color display of the Atari Falcon. Distribution and accessibility. The widespread availability of STOS Basic and applications created with it was a cornerstone of its success and popularity. Distribution occurred through a multifaceted approach, encompassing commercial channels, popular media, and a vibrant community-driven network. Commercial distribution. STOS was a commercially available product, with its 3.2 version launching in the UK in late 1998 under the Mandarin Software label. Its popularity was such that Atari Corp itself recognized its value, licensing STOS to be included as a key component of the Discovery Pack, which was bundled with new Atari ST computers. This strategic bundling was a masterstroke, ensuring its exceptional wide initial launch by placing the programming language directly into the hands of a vast number of new ST owners.
Discover the incredible power of the Atari 520 ST. With the new Atari Discovery Pack, you can learn computer programming. You can discover talents you never knew you had. And create and play games as exciting as in any arcade. The new Atari Discovery Pack for less than £300.
Magazine cover discs. Perhaps one of the most effective and pervasive methods of software distribution during the Atari ST era was through magazine cover discs. Prominent publications such as Atari User, MicroCare, ST Format, and ST Review regularly featured STOS programs, utilities, and even full games on their accompanying floppy disks. Andrew Oakley, a notable STOS developer, observed that this method of distribution, reaching a readership of approximately 30,000 per issue, likely exposed his creations to a broader audience than many commercially boxed games that struggled in the lower echelons of the ST charts. The rise of digital distribution, public domain, freeware, shareware, and licenseware. The Atari ST era, particularly for STOS developers, represented a golden age for alternative software distribution models, fostering a dynamic and experimental ecosystem. Public domain and freeware. Many developers, including Andrew Oakley, chose to release their STOS creations into the public domain, or as freeware. This approach was favored for its simplicity, as it saves hassle managing the whole thing and gets your work distributed more quickly, said Andrew. Public domain software flourished on the Atari ST, often disseminated through public domain series discs, some of which impressively spanned over thousands of discs. Shareware. This model allowed users to try software without upfront payment, with an implicit or explicit request for donation or registration fees if they found the software valuable. A compelling incentive for shareware registration was the provision of the game's source code, a practice observed with games like Balls. The game Fallers also offered its STOS source code upon registration. Licenseware. This was a hybrid model, often serving as an intermediate step between completely free software and full commercial releases. Developers such as Silly Software, founded by Dino Sharples, initially released their games as licenseware before transitioning to commercial distribution. Andrew Oakley's SquareOff was available as a Goodman's license, where registering the game for a fee, £5, granted access to a level editor, acting as a powerful incentive for payment. Robin Ball's Secret Weapon was also released as licenseware by LAPD. Power Fist licenseware published titles like EE's Lost His Marbles and the Hunchy series. Community-driven distribution, disc scenes, and user groups. Beyond the formal channels, a robust community infrastructure played a vital role in facilitating the distribution of STOS creations. Disc zines, which were digital magazines distributed on floppy disks, served as crucial conduits. Examples include Stosser, ST Plus, ST Info, Sten, STE Tosterone, STOS Bits Disc, STOS Fried Chip Disc, STOS User Club Diskette, Stun and Stampede, and many more. These disc scenes often contained articles, tutorials, and executable programs, fostering a strong sense of community among developers. Dino Sharples, a prominent STOS developer, actively participated in this ecosystem, eventually becoming the editor of Stosser magazine, contributing articles and programming its interface. User groups and online forums such as the current STOS Coders Forum and its associated Facebook group, along with historical archives such as the STOS Time Tunnel, have further supported this collective environment by providing platforms for sharing resources and fostering collective development. This multi-channel distribution approach had a profound democratizing effect on software creation and consumption in the 90s and even now. The initial bundling of STOS with new ST machines and its widespread inclusion on magazine cover discs ensured that the programming tool reached a massive pre-existing audience of Atari ST owners, many of whom who might not have otherwise sought out a programming language. This low barrier to access for the development tool itself, combined with the flexible licensing models for its creation, cultivated an environment where hobbyists could easily begin their programming journey and then readily share their work. The sheer volume of distribution, exemplified by magazine readerships of tens of thousands per issue, meant that even projects from bedroom coders could achieve significant visibility, potentially reaching more users than many traditional boxed games, especially in the mid and late 90s. This model was instrumental in STOS's grassroots popularity and the proliferation of user-generated content, effectively bypassing the traditional retail gatekeepers for many small developers. The popularity of STOS and its impact on the ST community. STOS Basic achieved remarkable commercial success, particularly for a non-game software title. It holds the distinction of being the world's first non-game title to take the number one spot in the UK Gallup software sales chart history. It ascended to the top position, number one, in the UK ST charts in November 1988 and maintained a presence on those charts for an impressive 8 months. By August 1991, STOS Basic had sold a substantial 160,000 copies. The primary driver of STOS's profound popularity among amateur programmers was its user-friendly design. It facilitated rapid game creation without demanding extensive knowledge of the Atari ST's intricate internal workings. François Lyonnais emphasized its easy learning curve and its capacity to instill good programming practices. In an interview at Atari Legend, Dino Sharple says this: he was drawn to StossBite's promise of enabling commercial quality games without the need for assembly language. He found it superior to other BASIC dialects like GFA BASIC in terms of power and ease of use, and retains a strong sense of nostalgia for the STOS community. His development of the STOS Adventure Creator and the STOS Graphic Adventure Creator demonstrates the language's versatility for specific game genres. Criticisms and counterarguments. Despite its widespread popularity, STOS was not without its detractors. A common criticism leveled against it was its perceived slowness, particularly when developers intensely utilized non-high-level commands. Furthermore, it was criticized for not inherently promoting structured programming practices. This led to a perception that STOS was too slow and just for people making low-quality games, a sentiment that has been compared to modern game engines accessible to amateurs. However, these criticisms must be viewed within the context of STOS's design and evolution. The release of the STOS compiler, version 2.4, directly addressed the performance concerns, allowing programs to run significantly faster by converting them into optimized machine code. Moreover, the extensive ecosystem of machine code extensions such as the Missing Link provided high-quality routines and specialized functionalities such as pre-shifted sprites that dramatically improved performance in games, effectively mitigating the perceived slowness for its core purpose. While general benchmarks might indicate STOS's inefficiency for certain operations, its specialized sprite engine and high-level commands were highly effective for game development. This highlights that STOS's strength lay in its specialized, high-level approach to game creation, rather than its general-purpose programming capabilities. Its slowness, in quotes, was a limitation for some tasks, but not for its core purpose, especially for single-screen arcade games in its initial incarnation, especially when leveraged by skilled developers and the extensive extension ecosystem. This perspective reframes the criticism as a misunderstanding of STOS's intended scope and emphasizes the importance of specialized tools in this particular domain, especially in making games. Game programs have always been about programming tricks and how to overcome limitations. Showcase of STOS creations and notable games. The enduring impact of STOS is perhaps best illustrated through the diverse array of games created with it, spanning various distribution models. While Mobi Game lists 35 games specifically made with STOS and numerous other titles are mentioned across interviews and magazine articles, the following selection highlights some of the most notable examples. Alien Thing, one of my all-time favorite STOS games, is the overhead spaceship shooter exploration game Alien Thing. Its developer, Robin Ball, in an interview with Atari Legend said, he considered STOS a great start for an aspiring game developer, programmer, and artist. His experience developing Alien Thing underscored the crucial role of extensions like the Missing Link in overcoming the ST's hardware limitations, particularly for achieving smoother graphics. He also encountered challenges posed by the declining Atari market, which ultimately impact the commercial viability of his products. Also especially notable are both of Tony Greenwood's hero games, Human Extraction and Rescue Operation 1 and 2. Number 2 is possibly one of the absolute best, most well-crafted public domain games on the ST, let alone one of the best STOS games. Other games, commercial games, Orbit, Zoltair, and Bullet Train were all released with the software in 1988 for the 2.3 release. Cartoon Capers was a cartoon beat-em-up, winner of STOS's game writing competition. Games Galore in 1990, Mandarin Software released these runner-ups in the game competition: Sky Strike, Yumo, Mousetrap, and Skate Tribe. Personally, I find Mousetrap and Skate Tribe incredibly fun. Mobster City by Silly Software, Dino Sharple's creation inspired by the Wild Bunch, had very positive reviews. Granny's Garden, 1994, another professional-looking title from Silly Software. Fun School 3 and 4, released by Europress, an educational series. Heartland, a Dizzy-style action game. Island Strike The Ultimate Conflict, 1996, another action game. Freeware and public domain, Ballpark by Andrew Oakley, released in the public domain from Budgie Software from the early 90s. Licenseware, Square Off from the early 90s by Andrew Oakley, by Goodman Shareware, offered the level editor upon registration. Hunchy 1066 and 2010 series, 1993 by Powerfist. Shareware, Balls by Simon Carter, early 1990, source code available upon shareware donation. Fallers, 1992 by SureSoft, offered STOS source code upon registration. There are so many other great STOS games. I just want to pick a few based on the various distribution types. Watch our other videos, as we have already had multiple videos on STOS games and will continue to highlight more. Legacy of STOS. STOS Basic was far more than a transient programming tool for the Atari ST. It established foundational principles for accessible game creation that continue to resonate in modern software development. Its direct successor, AMOS Basic for the Amiga, built on STOS's high-level approach, incorporating more commands and embracing structured programming paradigms. This lineage continued with François Léoné's subsequent venture, ClickTeam, which further evolved the philosophy of simplified game development through the Click series, Click and Play, The Games Factory, Multimedia Fusion. These tools marked a significant shift away from traditional coding, favoring a primarily mouse-driven visual interface. This progression demonstrates a consistent drive to make game creation increasingly accessible by abstracting away complex programming, a vision that finds its contemporary expression in AOZ Studio, which aims to replace STOS at AMOS and leverages JavaScript for web-based development. The expressed desire of veteran developers like Dino Sharples to return to programming with AOZ Studio underscores the continuity and enduring appeal of this development philosophy. STOS holds a cherished place in retro computing history, fondly remembered by the generation of enthusiasts and hobbyists who embraced it, and its profound ability to empower individuals to create their own games, coupled with a robust community support and an adaptable nature, facilitated by extensions and, of course, the compiler. This rendered it a truly impactful programming language. The ongoing efforts by communities such as STOS Coders to preserve and keep the language alive, alongside the significant release of its source code and even new extensions, serve as powerful testaments to its lasting appeal and its historical significance as a gateway for countless aspiring game developers. STOS stands as a prime illustration of how accessible tools can ignite creativity and foster innovation within a dedicated user base, leaving an indelible mark on the landscape of home computer software. The true legacy of STOS extends beyond the specific games it produced. It lies in the countless aspiring developers it empowered and the path it paved for future innovations in democratizing game creation. STOS was a pioneering game creator tool that foreshadowed the modern era of game engines and visual development environments. Its success validated the market for accessible game development software and directly influenced subsequent tools that prioritize ease of use. Special thanks go to François Léoné for creating STOS, AMOS, ClickTeam, and more, and for his current efforts to make a platform, STAM, ST plus Amiga, by which STOS and AMOS games can be run in current web browsers. Give a special shout out to all the folks at the STOS Coders Facebook group who are working every day to keep STOS alive and well. Special thanks go to Neil Holiday, Dean Sharples, and Michael Keenside for creating the site and keeping the group running. See the link below for a comprehensive set of all the work cited and all the references used in this video. Please like and subscribe for more, and we'll have a lot more of these in-depth articles coming up soon. Have fun with your own programming languages in the vertical blank. We were children of the Silicon Revolution, an X generation conscripted to fight the console and home computer wars. A product of an analog 70s childhood, we came of digital age in the 80s, believing we could affect the world 8 bits at a time. Armed with joysticks, full-stroke keyboards, jolt
Coca-Cola, and MTV haircuts, we proceeded into the vertical blink. There, we stayed up late at night, devising incantations from D&D rulebooks and beginner's all-purpose symbolic instruction code. Video games were the match, and programming was the fuse, as the infinite possibilities of the digital world exploded into the internet age to come. We are Generation Atari.
Into the vertical blank.